Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is in subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious choice, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives, their own wives, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, of each of you in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Always good to be with the people of God as we strive to do God's will in all that we do. We are indeed grateful to the I Am who allows us to come before him to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful for the reading of the scripture because on this month, as we talk about awaking out of sleep and arising to righteousness, I want us to talk about keeping the home spiritual. And what I mean by that is this. One of the most difficult positions to be in is a family member. Not just a husband, a wife, a child, a mother, a father, but just a family member. And the reason why is because you go through different stages and phases in life. When we consider those who have just been recently married and you are beginning your family, you get to know each other, at least seemingly. And as you are getting to know one another, children come. But then you consider when those children are being reared. And as you're rearing those children, you have different obstacles. And then those children grow up and they have a mind of their own. And there's only so much that you can do. But then you go into different phases. One of those phases is taking care of elderly parents. There are different phases. But then you have phases that you go through as a child of God, as you're taking care of grown children because of some type of ailment, some type of problem. You think about all of the things that we go through in this life as children of God. You think about phases that people have marital problems and they go through divorces. You have those issues. You have parents that may pass and you have to contend with that. You have different things that goes on, and the things that we go through as children of God are no different than the things that the world goes through. However, as the people of God, we have a help. We go to our God in heaven. We go to the Word of God. So when we consider the home is a unit of individuals that make up a family. God is the one that made the family. You remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. With the emphasis on verses 4 through 6, and how he refers back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. That in the beginning he made them both male and female. And you remember after he brought forth the female, it was Adam that went into a monologue and said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came forth from the man." And so here we find that God creates the man and then puts Adam to sleep and brings forth the woman, a man with a womb. When we consider that, we think about the family and how God wanted them to be fruitful and multiply. That was said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28. So when we consider, what is the home made of? Well, it's made up of a man leaving and cleaving his mother and father, or father and mother, and cleaving to his wife, being glued to his wife. He's getting to know her. They become one flesh. But then when we consider the psalmist in Psalm 127, verses 1 and following, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And when we consider the home and the family unit, we know for a fact that the family consists of what God created, a man and a woman coming together in holy matrimony, bringing forth children. And in those relationships, we find the husband and wife relationship is supposed to mirror the relationship that we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 5 with the focus on verse number 32. You remember what Paul there said as Brother Cheek was reading? "This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church." He goes through that husband-wife relationship, and Paul, by inspiration, is talking about Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the head, and his body, the church, the called out ones. We know for a fact that he's talking about the realm of the earth, because Jesus would say with his own words, Brother May, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 30, that there is no marriage in heaven for those who go or honored with that privilege of eternal life will be as the angels, not given to marriage. So we stop and we consider that marriage is only for those conscious beings on earth, underneath the canopy of God. So we stop and we consider the relationship that God desires for the home. And we have a plethora of scriptures that we're going to be going through, because I want us to be considering the family and considering what it means to be a family member. And it doesn't matter if your children are in the house or outside of the house, you're still a family. You still consider your children your children. It doesn't matter if they are 13 or 63. We stop and we consider this, and it ought to be just the opposite as it relates to the respect factor. Whether you're 13 or 63, you still should honor your father and mother. Why? Because this is right. And so home must not become unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When we think about children, let's look at a couple passages. In Psalm 127, in verse number 3, as we begin our line of thought. In Psalm 127, in verse number 3, we see that children are literally a blessing. Now, some may beg to differ because of the way their children act. However, when we consider Psalm 127, in verse number 3, we set the record straight. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They come forth from the Lord. They are the offspring of the Lord." Turn there from, go to Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 15. And there you'll see right before the book of Matthew, Malachi 2 and verse number 15, that children are to come forth from the holy matrimony, and they are a blessing from God. They are a godly offspring. We stop and we consider that, friends, and God desires a godly offspring because he desires godly marriages. He desires godly families. And friends, make no mistake about it. It is work to have a godly family. It is laboring
intensive, if you will. The I Am, Jehovah, Almighty God, wants the home to not fall asleep to its purpose. Friends, the purpose of the family is just like the purpose of the Christian. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do you want to know what the duty of the family is? You want to know what the goal of the family is? Every single family has one goal, and that is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Why? Because this is man's all. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119 real quick. And here we must understand that when we consider the family, and considering being members of a family, this ought to be our goal. Our goal ought to be able, that we ought to be able to found our families upon the righteousness of God. In Psalm 119, verse number 142. Psalm 119, verse 142. Here we learn something about righteousness and God. And if our families are going to have any fighting chance, whether we have children or not, whether our children are out of the home or not, friends, it must be substantiated upon God's righteousness. Notice what the Bible there says. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Now, let's make a couple points here real quick. When you consider righteousness, consider correct or right living. You remember when we consider the gospel is God's righteousness. It is that which formulates and cultivates the mind. And if any family is going to be successful, it has to be based upon God's righteousness. Literally, God's ethical system that comes directly from his mouth. We stop and we consider God's ethical system, which controls the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act. In other words, our morality. Every family should, especially in Christ, ought to substantiate their lives based upon the morality of Almighty God. But friends, this is not any old type of morality. We're not talking about the morality of the common man. We're not talking about a social morality. We're talking about an everlasting morality. The morality that comes forth from God himself. This everlasting, this righteousness, this morality, this ethical system is an everlasting righteousness. And notice what the end of that verse says. And your law is truth. Friends, what is God teaching us? He's teaching us that our families ought to be built upon the ethical and the eternal standards of Almighty God. And friends, I venture to say that is work. Because it requires, as Brother May said in his prayer, it requires us humbling ourselves. And friends, whether or not your children are at home or not, we still have a responsibility to teach and be an example to our family members. But what about those family members who are not members of the Lord's people? What greater reason to live a moral life before those who are not Christians? Our families should demonstrate the authority of Jehovah in our lives. And friends, make no mistake about it. God has all authority, whether it is public or private. Whether it is in our personal lives or public lives, God ought to have the authority in our lives. We ought to submit to that authority. Therefore, when we consider our theme for this year, awake out of sleep, arise to righteousness. Every single family under the sound of my voice ought to do that. That we have to wake up, and we have to wake up to what's going on around us. And so therefore, we individually must set the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of our hearts. For Paul says he has the preeminence. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Do you know that God made Jesus Christ preeminent, but we have to make him preeminent over our own lives? And he's not going to make us do it. As a matter of fact, as we demonstrated on last week on how Jesus Christ said in Revelation chapter 2 that I stand at the door and knock. But the inside has the handle. God is not barging his way into the lives of anyone. When we consider Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number, Hebrews chapter 12 rather, in verse number 2, Jesus has to have the provisions or give provisions for our lives. How? When we look to him as the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's stop and let's think for a second. God is the one that provides for us spiritually. But we have to go to the Word of God. God is not going to, by osmosis, give us his direction and his instruction on how to rear children or how to be a good spouse or how to be the parents of grown children or how to be the children of elderly parents. And these are things that we have to talk about more. And the reason why, friends, is because our families have different types of makeup. And so we have to have the wisdom that comes forth from God. And no wonder when we consider the final authority in all religious matters, Jesus Christ. Jesus would say that in John 12, verses 47 and 48. Therefore, our families must seek spirituality because the one in whom we profess is a spiritual being. Just a couple of passages that I want you to consider as God being spiritual. Which means that our lives must be based upon the spiritual aspects of God himself. God is spirit, John 4:24. He is an invisible God, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. He is a God that if one was to see him, they would die. Exodus 33 and verse number 20. But I think I like this one the most. You remember in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, when Moses was following God out of Egypt, and the Bible says he was following him as one that was invisible. Moses, how was you following God? Remember, as he gives him instruction to leave Egypt and to go toward Mount Horeb as he is about to go and cross the Red Sea, and remember, he was going to do some magnificent thing then. Here's my point, that if our families are going to do something magnificent, just staying together, Evelyn, just working together, communicating with one another, striving to love one another, which is the highest and greatest attribute that anyone could ever conquer, for love conquers all. Friends, we have to follow God. But then turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. And here's where we'll spend just a little bit of our time. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 2. I love this particular passage because God wants us to be connected to him as the divine nature. Now I want us to consider, because when we think about the God of heaven, he did something magnificent by sending his son. But he did something even more magnificent by giving us his word. By giving us the ability to read his mind, if you will, that we may be able to apply it to our lives, thus share something with him. God is a sharer, if you will. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power, that's the Holy Spirit there, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, we like to stop there when we quote this passage. But friends, notice how that life and godliness is attained. It is attained through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Here, God calls us by knowledge, but calls us by glory and virtue, his honor and his moral excellence. What does this have to do with us being a family member? The very fact that the family was designed to be a moral culture in and of itself. And so what happens when moral cultures who are developing and cultivating on their own time, under their own roof, come together? Let me tell you what happens. You have a moral culture that cannot be defeated in any moral situation. Why? Because they are the moral culture that are developing at home. And then they bring those mentalities and ideas to the local work, if you will, and they worship God in spirit and in truth. And if they worship God in spirit and in truth, then they encourage one another. But notice what he says here. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that's piety, through the knowledge of him who called us, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, God calls us by his gospel and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding and great and precious promises, that through these, now notice this, friends, you may be a partaker, a sharer of his what? His divine nature. God wants his people to be sharers of his divine nature. And the family has a responsibility to cultivate that and develop that in their own family. And to remind one another that we have been called by God's glory and by his virtue, his moral excellence, in order for us to share with him. God loves to share. But he's only going to share with those who have a desire to partake in his characteristics. And so therefore, it is the family, in the family, that we learn to uphold some things. We learn to uphold truth and righteousness and godliness and self-control and virtue and goodness and brotherly kindness. We learn those things, at least we should be learning those things, in the home, and it doesn't matter how old we get. Sometimes, as we grow older, we begin to have the attitude, well, I'm an adult, you can't tell me what to do. Isn't it ironic that God will always be known as the Ancient of Days? And isn't it ironic that the people of God will be always called his children? We'll never get to a point where we can tell God what to do nor disrespect him. Do you know it doesn't matter how old your parents are, you should never disrespect them? Amen. Should never disrespect them. You should never get to a point where you think you know more than your parents, or at least come across as such. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's read verse number 5 through verse number 11. And the reason why I want to read these, because these will actually challenge us, correct us, cause us to care and cherish one for another. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, meaning make haste, hurry up, add to your confidence, your credence, your trust, your faith, moral excellence. And to moral excellence, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control, which is temperance. And to temperance, perseverance, meaning hang in there, hold fast, hold on. And to that, piety or godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Let's stop real quick. All of these, Brother Stephen, are eternal, because they are characteristics that demonstrate who Jehovah is. They are characteristics that tell us who God is, and As these are being developed and cultivated, at least they should be, we begin to share in God's characteristics or to share in His divine nature. Friends, let me share this with you. Do we truly appreciate what God has done for us by giving us His word that it may correct us and challenge us and demonstrate that He really cares for us and cherishes us, that we can share in His divine nature?
And no wonder, when we consider the greatest attribute that one could ever possess, that's love. But notice the rest of these passages. Because the family has a responsibility to not only cultivate this, but receive the blessings because of it.
For if these things are yours, now listen to this, and they abound in the original, they superabound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Notice in what? In the knowledge, friends, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. The focus is wrong. But then notice verse number 10 and 11. Therefore, since all of these things have been said, he says, now focus on this, brethren. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, there are some, even in the Lord's church, that say, well, you don't have to do anything. I mean, you're already there. No, you're always working on something. You're always developing, and no wonder the family unit, and it doesn't matter whether it's just husband or wife, doesn't matter if you have a plethora of children or just one, it doesn't matter if you are an older family and you have older parents, it doesn't matter. You should always be developing and cultivating and growing, for if you do these things, you will never fall away. One version says you'll never stumble. You'll never stumble. Literally, you will have a clear path to glory. Now, friends, think about that. What is the responsibility of the mother and the father? Is to cultivate and to develop this attitude within their own children. And then let me make this comment before I finish this up. And what is the responsibility of the children when they come to that age in which they understand what mom and dad are trying to do for them in their life? It's to humble themselves in order that they may have a clear path to glory. But what happens, Brother Clark? Let me tell you what happens. Sometimes our vision becomes clouded. Sometimes our attitudes become haughty. Sometimes, as the people of God, we stop developing. I know enough. No, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it causes us to continue to be awake. And what happens at times? We're lulled asleep. We allow things to captivate and distract us. And friends, I know this for a fact. Because as people, and as the children of Israel, as God will deliver them by sending a judge because they cried out to them, it wasn't long, Brother Brandon, that they would go back into that mentality, and then God will send them back into captivity. And friends, the reason why is because they were distracted. And the same thing happens today, that we allow certain things to distract us, and literally it makes the path to glory cloudy. And friends, it doesn't matter how old you are. And this is why we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so notice the end of this passage. Notice the blessing of this passage. And when we consider the family and the whole unit, and so it doesn't matter what we're going through in life, it doesn't matter where we are in life, friends, there is something waiting for us. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly, notice where, into the everlasting kingdom, friends, did you get that? There are some who are teaching even among us that the everlasting kingdom is going to be down here upon this earth. But friends, that is false, because Jesus is in heaven, and everything that is down here is temporal, and everything that is up there where God is everlasting. It is eternal. And friends, we're going to have a clear path.
This clear path is going to have some problems every now and then, but that doesn't mean that our vision has to be cloudy. But into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let me make a few points real quick. When we consider the God of heaven and what we just looked at as it relates to those attributes, what you see is what you get when it comes to God. Now, I need that to sink in. And the reason why I need that to sink in is because all of us are developing and cultivating our lives into the person of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. We're conforming ourselves through the will of God into the image of Christ. Yet, when we consider God, and no wonder the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. But when we think about God, when we see God for who he is, because what we see is what we get with God. And here's the problem with many. The problem with many is that when they see who God really is, they say, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. No, I learned something this past week and shared it with a few. And one thing about God in his characteristics, listen, friends, he's honest, he's just, he's real, he's transparent, he's holy. And there is no semblance in God whatsoever. What do we mean by that? Meaning that God is not going to show you one thing and be something totally different. That's not God. Do you know one of the benefits of a family? Listen. One of the benefits of a family is that we can actually be real with one another and actually help one another develop in our character. Isn't that right, Miss Evelyn? We ought to be able to help one another to develop. And what is the problem with some? Even in the world that we live in, of course. You can't tell me nothing. You're judging me. Well, one thing we know about the Word of God and the beauty of it is that it does judge us. It does show us who we are. And there is no semblance in God. And God is teaching that I don't want no semblance to be in you either. So as the family, our yea ought to be yea. And our nay ought to be nay. God is truth. And we ought to be a people of truth as well. So when we consider the God who is eternal, the God who knows all things, we have to consider this God truth. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. When we consider this entrance, this clear pathway that God is demonstrating to us, and the purpose of the family, is not to accumulate a bunch of earthly things that's going to burn up. The purpose of the family, as we stated before, is to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. So the family must be aware of the teachings of God. In Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16, Paul here is actually demonstrating how to have life and peace. And it only comes through walking in the Spirit. It only comes through walking according to the teachings of Jehovah in order that we may share in his divine nature. Notice what Paul says. If you consider even the context of how there was a division between Jews and Gentiles, and how the Judaizing teachers were trying to get the Gentile Christians to obey the law
and be a Christian. And Paul said, no, 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 that's fleshly. We are of the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit's teaching, not under that law system of Moses. Make no mistake about it. We are under the law to Christ, Galatians 6:2. For there's no way that one can sin unless they're under law. But notice what he says here, friends. I say then, verse 16, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And notice this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you're led by the message, if you're led by the teachings of God, you are not under the law. Now notice the things, friends, and this is what I have in my notes. When you consider the things of Galatians 5:19 through 21, these are things that are contrary to the wisdom of God, and these are things that are pitfalls in life. I guarantee you that if any family member indulges in any of these, it will cause the pathway to glory to become rocky. And so when we consider verses 19 through 21, notice, now the works of the flesh are evident. And this is why we have to stay awake. This is why we have to pay attention. This is why we have to know what's going on around us. This is why we need transparent members in our families. Yea, even in the Lord's church. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. All four of those aspects deal with sexual sin. But then he deals with sins of idolatry or sins of false worship. Idolatry, sorcery. And now he deals with sins that are matters of the heart towards others. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions. Now notice what he brings in. He brings in heresies, talking bad about people, envy, murders, drunkenness, drinking parties, and then he says, and the like. Now the reason why I bring these things out is because, friends, I see people and I see it on our television shows all of the time. Mike, I see people indulging in these things and they actually break down the very fiber and the fabric of the home. And it doesn't matter if a person is having marital issues in the first 2 years of their life or having marital issues in the 45th year of their lives. If these things enter in, it breaks down the very fabric of the home. But then we take notice of something very powerful that I want to end on. And that's verses 22 and 23. For these actually cause us to thrive. These actually cause us to succeed. These actually cause us to live spiritually. But the result, the fruit, the benefit of the Spirit, Romans 8, verse number 2, they're eternal standards, eternal principles. These are things that come forth from eternality, from God himself. And it's interesting that we take notice that the first thing that Paul mentions is love. But it's interesting that the last thing that Peter mentions is love. And so if we put these together, Brother Royce, you have Paul putting love at the beginning, and you got Peter putting love in the end, and in the middle, you got it all together. And so here we take this concept and this idea that the greatest thing that we can conquer and trust in is the love of God. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Now that's a good one right there.
at piety,
faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And notice what Paul here says, against such there is no law. In other words, you can do it as much as you want. Friends, did you gather that?
We have to continue to be awake that we produce these in our lives.
And so when we have conversations in our homes, it ought to benefit us. It ought to bless us.
I learned, if you don't mind, I learned yesterday that I need to listen more. You know what? It's true. Sometimes we don't listen enough. But I'm not talking about listening as in hearing, but listening as in understanding. Sometimes we break down the fabric of the home, not because of some heinous sin, but because of selfishness. And friends, we have to work on those things.
And so we have to continue to be awake. We have to continue to allow God to cultivate our minds through His Word. And that's how He does it. God cultivates our minds when we submit to His Word.
And so, I believe all of us can learn how to listen more. But don't listen to answer always. Listen to develop and grow. And be the person of Christ that God wants us to be. For on next week, we're going to be talking specifically about the congregation.
And how we ought to be awake. That we ought to stay awake. And if we have lulled ourselves to sleep through gaming, through the television, through overworking, or whatever means, friends, we have to slow down and wake up. There was a saying back in the day, wake up and smell the roses.
Well, we need to wake up and smell the Word of God.
And as we wake up and smell the Word of God, then we're able to make adjustments.
And then we consider the eternal standards and principles that God has left us. And always keep in mind that the home, the family, and it doesn't matter whether you have children at home or not. Doesn't matter if they're 13 or 60. Doesn't matter.
We all can learn from one another. For when we come together as a people, as a godly people, as the Church of Christ, we should have a desire to learn from one another.
So therefore, it's all right if my brother or my sister reproves or rebukes me.
It's okay when I'm corrected and challenged. It is a demonstration of care and concern and love and trust and transparency with no semblance whatsoever.
So therefore, as we learn and grow, God wants us to continue, and I haven't quoted this passage in a long time, and I wonder why. But the Apostle Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, examine yourself whether you be in the faith.
Isn't it ironic that he didn't tell us to examine one another? He told us to examine who? Ourselves. And as we examine ourselves, as I come to a close, we get to see who we are based upon the Christ, the Son of the living God. And friends, make no mistake about it. He is the Son. He is the eternal Son. He is the one that God sent. He is the one that lived His life sinlessly. He is the one that died on the cross. He is the one that God raised from the dead. And He is the one sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, even as we speak. That's the God that we serve. And He is the one that has all authority in heaven and on earth. And He has every right to tell us what to do.
So with that being said, we are a family, and we ought to benefit from the family. And as we benefit from one another, Let us keep encouraging one another to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And it doesn't matter what we're going through, friends, we're overcomers. We can have great lives. And the very fact that someone loves us enough to say something should demonstrate that you are a loved individual. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He will operate upon your soul. He will operate, meaning that he will perform spiritual surgery upon you. And when he does that, he will destroy sin in your life. He will wash it away. He will wash away the guilt of sin. And you can stand before him as holy without sin. And that's when you're baptized into Christ. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Maybe your family is in shambles. Maybe the only peace that you get is when you come here. Sometimes that's true. Friends, let's keep each other encouraged as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.